Misquoted Bible Passages, Christian Hymnody, Confessional Lutheranism, Christianity and Culture. You can meet and hear Issues Etc. regular guests discussing these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $100 per person. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. Issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. On this Wednesday afternoon, May the 14th, Pam Fichter joins us. There's recent news. The headline says Missouri Senate votes to triple waiting period for women seeking abortions. Now, these things are fought all different ways, state by state, and sometimes pro-life victories come with compromises on other issues. This is an example of that. Pam Fichter is our guest. She's president of Missouri Right to Life. Pam, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks so much. It's a pleasure to be with you again.
I'm trying to recall, because I know that we have talked about this extension of waiting period with you before. How long have Missouri, pro-life Missouri lawmakers been fighting to get a longer waiting period for women seeking an abortion?
Well, this year, this legislation was filed at the very beginning of session. It's, you know, we're always looking for ways every year to provide more protection and more information to women and their unborn children. But this bill was filed early in the session, beginning of January, and it's been working its way through. So we've got it through the Senate, and hopefully we can get it passed in the House.
So how did it finally, why did those opponents of it in the Missouri Senate, why did they finally concede on this particular bill?
Well, you know, they say if you watch legislation, it's like watching sausage being made, and sometimes it's not very pretty. but I think that the Senate leadership really wanted this piece of legislation, so they sat down with the pro-abortion side to see if there was anything that they could work with on other legislation that might be a good compromise, so that those who would ordinarily oppose this would stop their filibuster, allow the 72-hour waiting period to pass, and I believe that there were some compromises made on early voting that the other side wanted, and so there was the leadership worked with the other side and found something that they wanted, and so they allowed the 72-hour waiting period to come to a vote.
So what specifically, you've mentioned 72 hours, what specifically does this bill now, or if it were to pass through the House also, would this bill require in Missouri, and what's the rationale behind a longer waiting period?
Well, already in Missouri law, we had a waiting period, a 24-hour waiting period, that said that once an expectant mother met with the abortionist, that she was required by Missouri law to then wait for 24 hours before going through with the abortion procedure. And this added time for reflection gives her more time to consider all of the options and also all of the risks. It also kind of takes the, if there's any coercion for the abortion, it helps calm that down a little bit. If there's a chance for a woman to have a second thought, sometimes if a woman is in a crisis situation and if she doesn't see other options, then it can be kind of an immediate decision to go get something over with, so to speak. And by extending this reflection time, we feel that she will have more time to make a more rational choice in light of all of the options available to her. And, you know, when a woman knows the risks to her, when she realizes that the abortion ends the life of her unborn child, when she realizes that there are choices for adoption, that there are crisis pregnancy centers that are willing and anxious to help her through a tough time, that, you know, it's hoped, and I think that it's been proven that a woman is much more likely to choose life for her unborn child.
The critics of waiting periods, period, will say that they put an undue economic and emotional strain on a woman. A woman may have to travel to get to have such a procedure done, and then she might have to go home and all those kinds of things. What's your response to that criticism?
Well, you know, I've had surgery. I've had my hip replaced a couple of times. And when I have been consulting with a doctor on that, you know, I get all the information and then I have to think about that. And it's, you know, it's not something that I rush into because there are risks and there are options. And you know, certainly we want to provide that opportunity for women in something that's as profound as a, as an abortion. You know, we have a procedure that, you know, certainly is far more, you know, impactful than having something like hip surgery or any other kind of surgery. I mean, we have a procedure that ends the life of an unborn child that, that there's tremendous risks to the mother. So certainly we should do all we can to assure that she has adequate time to reflect on this before she does it. I mean, if we, if the average patient, you know, even considering routine surgery takes time to reflect on that, you know, we would want to make sure that someone involved in an abortion decision, something far more serious, has that same opportunity.
Tell us about this economic development bill in the Missouri House and what are your concerns about it?
Well, the Missouri Senate passed a piece of legislation. It's economic development, but included in that economic development, they open the door for taxpayer funding for human cloning and embryonic stem cell research. And, you know, this is a battle that we've been fighting in Missouri for many, many years, you know, and after we had the Amendment 2 battle in 2006, we've had constant attempts by the pro-cloning lobbyists in Missouri, a very powerful group, to access taxpayer funding for this research. And the bill that passed out of the Senate last week did include taxpayer funding for that research, or, you know, opened the door to that funding for that kind of research. So now that bill has gone to the House. Now, Missouri Right to Life, throughout this legislative session, has been working with legislators to provide protective language so that the other economic development that doesn't involve unethical research would go forward, but we would not be providing taxpayer money for research that, that many Missourians, most Missourians, find offensive and morally wrong.
I remember having conversations with you and others about this issue of taxpayer funding for embryonic stem cell research. Missouri was one of those states that, if I recall correctly, really misstepped on this, partly due to the fact that there were some pretty powerful and influential voices, well, not telling the truth about embryonic stem cell research. What are your thoughts there?
Well, you know, what we currently have in Missouri Constitution is a false, unscientific definition of human cloning. And what we've tried to do, and the courts have allowed us to do that, is to insert in any kind of economic development or any kind of efforts for research the accurate definition of human cloning, so that when we have something that restricts funding for human cloning, that we are accurately defining it. And so that's one of the big obstacles that we have, is that thanks to Amendment 2, human cloning is defined as the implantation of a cloned embryo, not the cloning itself. And it's the implantation if the intent is to bring about a live birth. So, you know, that is not the scientific definition of cloning. Cloning has already taken place when those things happen. So what Missouri Right to Life has asked the legislators to do is to insert in the any economic development bill that involves research that we have language that's already been in Missouri statute. It applies to other funding. It wouldn't apply to new funding, but it's been left standing by the courts, and it does provide adequate protection against funding for the type of research that would clone human embryos and destroy them.
Before we let you go, on both of these pieces of legislation, the waiting period that has passed the Senate and is headed toward the House, and the one we just discussed, what are, do you think, the realistic prospects for both of them having success in terms of their pro-life advocacy?
Well, you know, we have a large bipartisan pro-life majority in both houses. I mean, it would be profoundly disappointing if we couldn't get these get the pro-life result on this legislation. And I think your listeners can really help if they would call their representative and ask them to support the 72-hour waiting period and to oppose House Bill 1495 without protective language. They can go to Missouri Right to Life's website at missourilife.org and click on the legislative site, and there will be a complete legislative update. They can also find out who their legislators are and how to contact them. But we're down to the last 3 days of legislative session this year. And so it's very imperative that we get the pro-life citizens of Missouri to make these phone calls and to let their legislators know how they expect them to vote on these critical life issues.
Pam Fichter is president of Missouri Right to Life. You can find out more about Missouri Right to Life at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pam, thanks for being our guest.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
When we come back, we're going to talk with Chris Roseborough. He recently debated whether or not Christians should keep the Sabbath and has a lot to tell us about the so-called Hebrew Roots Movement. That with Chris Roseborough right here on Issues Etc. right after this. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Henderson, Nevada. Faith Lutheran, Orange City, Iowa. Bethany Lutheran, Fairview Heights, Illinois. Bethlehem Lutheran, North Zulch, Texas. Risen Christ Lutheran, Arvada, Colorado. Trinity Lutheran and Grace Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas. Emmanuel Lutheran, Perryville, Missouri. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basor, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Champaign, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Auburn, Nebraska. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Columbia, South Carolina, Grace Lutheran, Elgin, Texas, Gethsemane Lutheran, Marion, Ohio, and St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Every week, Ravenelli's Restaurant and Carryout cooks up 29,000 pieces of chicken, 980 gallons of meat sauce, 310 loaves of fresh bread, and 200 fresh pies and cakes. Ravenelli's Restaurant and Carryout in Granite City, Collinsville, and O'Fallon, Illinois. Ravenelli's.com. RAVANELLIS.com. Ravenelli's Restaurant and Carryout.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Pastor Jeff Siegel of St. Mary Evangelical Lutheran Church in Des Moines, Iowa, where God gathers us around His means of grace to offer us forgiveness, life, and salvation. Whether you are looking for a church or just visiting Des Moines, if you like Issues Etc., St. Mary's is the church for you. Join us as we gather together every Sunday to continue the Reformation tradition of Christ-centered, cross-focused worship, preaching, and teaching. For more information, go to www.stmarylutheran.org. Remember to spell out Saint.
What happens when our theology is driven by freshness instead of faithfulness? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled New Thing Theology. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details how Bob Leeko journeyed from the Word Faith movement to faith in Christ alone. The free online Issues Etc. journal.